Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
You have a very vapid San Francisco Democrat, and then you've got a Ilhan Omar-style leftist, Tim Walz, who has the same policies as his fellow Minnesotan Ilhan Omar.
Who lost, right? Is she the one that lost? Or is it Cori Bush? No, I can't remember. Maybe it's Cori Bush. I apologize. But DeSantis yesterday, or not yesterday, a couple days ago, talking about Tim Walz as the nominee for the vice president, for the vice president who wants to be the president, Kamala Harris. If you're going to deliver a zinger, you got to not stumble too much over the words, you know, like right at the beginning if you can't find the words. But he did come back from it because he did. Oh, here you go.
We do not need an America that represents the failed policies of San Francisco or the failed policies of Minneapolis. We do not need to see poop on the street and cities burning down.
Whose poop? Our poop! You know, I can just see the chance now. So this has been the theme of the Republicans criticizing Tim Walz.
Kamala Harris is running as a San Francisco liberal. She is governed as a San Francisco liberal, and she's chosen a running mate who will be a San Francisco-style liberal.
So that's J.D. Vance, of course. The Walz has been pushing back.
Like all regular people I grew up with in the heartland, J.D. studied at Yale. Had his career funded by Silicon Valley billionaires, and then wrote a bestseller trashing that community. Come on! That's not what middle America is. And I gotta tell you, I can't wait to debate the guy.
So, what I was thinking when he was delivering that comeback was, it seems like J.D. Vance has come from the worst possible circumstances and made quite a something out of his life, which seems like the American dream to me. It seems like through military service and that he managed to get into Yale, that is what makes him unlike the average American. These are weird things to criticize somebody for, but I didn't have to think it for too long because J.D. Vance actually went out and said it yesterday.
Well, look, I came from a family where nobody in my family had ever gone to law school. I grew up in a poor family. The fact that Tim Walz wants to turn it into a bad thing, that I actually worked myself through college, through law school, and made something myself, to me, that's the American dream. And if Tim Walz wants to insult it, I think that's frankly pretty bizarre.
Yeah, and by the way, this has been the word. They keep using the word weird, you know, for Trump and J.D. Vance. That's what the word that Tim Walz keeps settling on. And, of course, a lot of people have pointed out, sir, there are some weird things about your policies. Have you seen the latest nickname? The latest nickname for Tim Walz. So the background to all of this is that he signed legislation which required feminine products to be in all public school bathrooms. And in the women's, of course, you're like, well, yeah, of course, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, but not just the women's. In all the public school bathrooms. Well, yeah, you mean certainly the ones where you can, like, it's multi-sex, you know. Yeah, those, but not just those. Including the boys' bathrooms. So the latest nickname that the Republicans have seized upon for Governor Walz is Tampon Tim. Just letting you know, that's what's out there. That's where we're at in America in 2024. Back to J.D. Vance yesterday, because the whole issue of criticizing the American dream is that's the light menu. That's the appetizer. That's not the significant stuff. It gets a little bit more robust after this. Before I play a clip, let's get John in here with traffic on the fives. John?
Got one accident to let you know about if you're heading southbound on Highway 29 right there at Broad Street before you get to I-10. There's an accident there. It just happened. So we're trying to get more information on that. Other than that, traffic is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. So back to the J.D. Vance versus Tim Walz that was going on yesterday. Again, J.D. says, look, he criticizes me practicing the American dream, which is kind of a weird thing, but, you know, okay, it's a free country if you want to. But it got a lot worse after that because, of course, both of them had military service. Right? J.D. Vance was a Marine. Tim Walz was in the Army Reserves for a long time, or National Guard. Pardon me, I forget which one. I think National Guard now that I say it that way. Anyway, so here goes. here we go.
What really bothers me about Tim Walz, it's not even the positions that he's taken, though certainly he has been a far-left radical. You know what really bothers me about Tim Walz as a Marine who served his country in uniform? When the United States Marine Corps, when the United States of America asked me to go to Iraq to serve my country, I did it. I did what they asked me to do it, and I did it honorably, and I'm very proud of that service. When Tim Walz was asked by his country to go to Iraq, you know what he did? He dropped out of the Army and allowed his unit to go without him, a fact that he's been criticized for aggressively by a lot of the people that he served with. I think it's shameful to prepare your unit to go to Iraq, to make a promise that you're going to follow through, and then to drop out right before you actually have to go.
And again, this is the light version of the criticism because he's going to get a lot more vehement about it here in just a second. I'll tell you the facts afterwards. Here's the claim.
I also think it's dishonest. Something, again, if you guys ever get an opportunity to ask Tim Walz or Kamala Harris some questions, he made this interesting comment that the Kamala Harris campaign put out there, and I bet they're regretting they put it out there now, because he said that and he was making a point about gun control. He said we shouldn't allow weapons that I used in war to be on America's streets. Well, I wonder, Tim Walz, when were you ever in war? What was this weapon that you carried into war, given that you abandoned your unit right before they went to Iraq and he has not spent a day in a combat zone? What bothers me about Tim Walz is the stolen valor garbage. Do not pretend to be something that you're not. And if he wants to criticize me for getting an Ivy League education, I'm proud of the fact that my mamaw supported me, that I was able to make something of myself. I'd be ashamed if I was him and I lied about my military service like he did.
So when Tim Walz says, I'm eager to debate him, maybe not as much, but here are the facts. In 2005, Tim Walz, and it was Army National Guard, Tim Walz had been 24 years with the Army National Guard and earned a rank of Command Sergeant Major, highest enlisted rank you can get. It was possible that his unit would be sent to war in 2005. Pentagon officials had hoped that ABC News. Possible his unit would go to war. Pentagon officials hoped the presence of U.S. troops in Iraq would protect the new coalition government and prevent a civil war. So rumors of deploying the Army National Guard. Walz, a vocal critic of the Bush administration's war policies and a father of a four-year-old girl at the time, opted to file his retirement papers that May and run for public office instead. He won, successfully flipping a Minnesota House seat from red to blue for the first time in years and becoming the highest-ranked enlisted veteran to serve in Congress. According to records by the National Guard, the 1st Battalion of the 125th Field Artillery received an alert order on July 14th, 2005, 2 months after Walz retired. The mobilization order came in August, and the unit mobilized in October. So takeaway from that is, yeah, he left right before. Did he know they were going to deploy? No, it wasn't ordered. Did he suspect they were going to deploy? Sure. Did he leave just because he wanted to run for office, or did he leave because he thought they might get deployed and he wanted to run for office? Well, you have to make the decision about which way to go on that. He didn't break any rules. He didn't do anything he's not allowed to do. More than 20 years in the National Guard, you're allowed to retire at any point, regardless of your contract term. The one thing, though, that has become a little bit of an issue is that he says on his website that he's that rank, but the rules have to do with how long you're in that rank before you're able to say you retired as it, and he was not eligible to reclaim that rank as a retirement rank for himself. So there is a little bit of an exaggeration in rank, apparently. The follow-up to this, again, the comment about the false valor or the stolen valor, and I'm curious whether you think that that is or not. The clip, the underlying clip, you know, the one that J.D. Vance is saying where he claimed he went into war. Here's the actual audio of Tim Walz talking about the guns. So you can, again, consider the facts as you've heard them.
I'll take my kick in the butt for the NRA. I spent 25 years in the Army and I hunt. And I gave the money back, and I'll tell you what I have been doing. I've been voting for common sense legislation that protects the Second Amendment, but we can do background checks. We can do CDC research. We can make sure we don't have reciprocal carry among states, and we can make sure that those weapons of war that I carried in war is the only place where those weapons are at.
That I carried in war. Nope. That's a big old nope, sir. So is it an embellishment? Obviously. Is it an exaggeration? Yeah. Is it stolen valor? Well, you be the, I think the people who should decide what stolen valor is are people who serve in the military in conflict zones. I didn't. So I'm always cautious about making those claims. J.D. Vance, he did, but he was never in actual combat, and he's said that. You know, he was basically kind of lucky enough to avoid actual actual firefights. So he's been straightforward about that. Tim Walz, on the other hand, seems to have a habit of embellishing and avoiding and maybe left in order to avoid being deployed, and yet occasionally likes to play on that record for the folks. You know what I'm saying? So I'm sure this is going to come up again. I just wanted to be sure that you had the facts before you hear these claims. You can decide for yourself what you think about them. As far as being, you know, a San Francisco liberal, well, there's a whole other set of sound clips from last week that were very interesting. I'll just put it that way. Tim Walz goes and does a thing called White Dudes for Harris, a live stream. Yeah. And again, I want to give you the context because there's a very, very popular sound clip you're going to hear from this YouTube live stream of all kinds of white guys supporting, you know, Kamala Harris. This is before he was the nominee or before he was taken on as the vice presidential candidate.
Those are folks that want a fair shot. We need to point out to this. The reason rural America hurts is because robber barons like these guys have come in there. These are the guys that take money out of our public schools to for private schools to give vouchers to people already going to private school. They undermine the basic social safety net that makes this country great. So
I don't think the social safety net is what makes this country great. I think we are a great country for all kinds of other reasons, like a work ethic and good solid values and a tradition of liberty and limited government. And it's because of those things that we have enough money that we can have a good social safety net. But the social safety net itself is not what makes this country great. But okay, that's small stuff. Moving along.
Here's the great news. How often in 100 days do you get to change the trajectory of the world? How often in 100 days do you get to do something that's going to impact generations to come? And how often in the world do you make that bastard wake up afterwards and know that a black woman kicked his ass and sent him on the road? And you know that's something that guy's going to have to live with for the rest of his life.
Wow. What? That's how we're selling this? By the way, I think most of your feminists would say that that was microaggressing, that was misogynist shade, that he's going to have to live with the fact that a woman beat him up, because, you know, women can't beat up men, that's kind of where that's coming from, and that she's a black woman to boot. And it's kind of just, you know, interesting things that come out of this live stream.
So I got to tell all of you, please, please do what you can. Please talk. Look, I got Florida man as a brother. We all got him in our families. But these are our neighbors and our relatives. And at heart, they're good people. They're not mean-spirited.
Despite what you think.
Good people. They're not mean-spirited. They're not small. They're not petty like they hear on stage. They're angry. They're confused. They're frustrated. They feel like they got left behind sometimes. But we can get out there. Reach out. Make the case. And for one thing, don't ever shy away from our progressive values. One person's socialism is another person's neighborliness. Just do the damn works.
One person's socialism is another man's neighborliness. Did he actually say that out loud?
But we can get out there, reach out, make the case. And for one thing, don't ever shy away from our progressive values. One person's socialism is another person's neighborliness.
You might hear that soundbite again. You might hear the other ones. I don't know what you're going to hear, but so he is a he's a mouth shooter. He shoots his mouth off a lot, and I actually think you could make the argument in defense of that sound clip that it's true some conservatives overreact to certain social benefit programs and plans and call everything socialism when what he means is but then again, you know, neighborliness is what you do voluntarily. Neighborliness is not what you do at gunpoint because you're people that you didn't vote for require you to give to a program that you don't believe in that helps somebody else out. That's not charity. That's not neighborliness. That's government coercion. So, yeah, that is socialism. I mean, that is the essence of it. It might not be full-blown, you know, socialism, you know, but it is socialistic. So, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Parrish Tractor, formerly Coastal Machinery. Parrish is a family business with the Hartford community, located on Mobile Highway in Pensacola and Ferdon Boulevard in Crestview. No accidents to let you know about right now. Seeing some minor delays if you're coming from Pace into Pensacola. Just a little bit of delay through that construction zone. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Flashlights, check. Camp stove, check. Canned goods, check. Ice chests, check.
Say, what you doing there, neighbor? Going camping?
Not exactly, but it is hurricane season. We've already had a few power outages just with thunderstorms, so I'm getting prepared.
I see. Getting ready for a little indoor camping.
Yeah, you know how it is.
Actually, I don't. We have natural gas from Pensacola Energy at our house, so when the power is out, we still cook up a storm and take hot showers. And since we added the whole house generator, we just keep on like nothing happened.
Must be nice.
It is. Pensacola Energy made it really easy, and we got some great rebates.
How can I get in on that?
Forget indoor camping and get comfortable with natural gas. To learn more about earning up to $3,000 in rebates, call Pensacola Energy at 850-436-5050 or visit PensacolaEnergy.com. We keep on.
Hi, neighbors. I'm Colton Wright, your current Santa Rosa County Commissioner for District 5. Thank you for allowing me to serve you for the past 4 years. Public safety has always been my first priority, and I've made sure our sheriff's deputies have the pay and equipment they deserve. I've worked hard to improve our roads and infrastructure, improve our parks, supported Whiting Field, and I brought new jobs to our area. I'll continue to use common sense and build strong relationships that benefit all of Santa Rosa County. Please re-elect me, Colton Wright, on August 20th.
Paid for and approved by Colton Wright for Santa Rosa County Commissioner, District 5.
You've built up the equity in your home. Now, a home equity line of credit from PinAir Credit Union can help you put it to great use. So build something incredible, like a backyard oasis or new walk-in shower. Invest in something special, like education or your business. Or just replace your roof. Boring, but important. Whatever you need, a home equity line of credit from PinAir is ready and waiting. And since there's no annual fee and no closing costs, a PinAir home equity line is always a perfect fit. Get started at PinAir.org/HELOC. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
Why service your firearms?
Well, here's why.
Regular cleaning and maintenance isn't just about keeping your firearm accurate. It's about ensuring they operate reliably when you need them most. When it comes to firearms, Jim's is the trusted choice. They consistently deliver top-notch service to keep your guns in peak condition. So swing by Jim's Firearms and discover why they're the industry's go-to experts. Stay safe. Stay accurate. Visit Jim's Firearms today.
Located at the corner of Blue Angel and Sorrento, near the back gate of NAS, or online at jimsfirearms.net.
Some candidates talk about change. While they talk, Commissioner Jeff Burgosh delivers. Real change that matters to citizens. New parks, roads, and sidewalks. More beach access. A new library and fire station. Record revenues, record property values, and higher pay for first responders. Commissioner Jeff Burgosh fights hard for the people of Escambia County and will never raise your property tax rates. Jeff has proven to be a conservative, tested, and trusted Republican leader. And he's being endorsed in this race by some of the most respected Republican in our county, including Sheriff Chip Simmons, State Representative Michelle Salzman, and Congressman Matt Gaetz. As your county commissioner, Jeff has worked tirelessly on behalf of the people of District 1 and Escambia County. On August 20th, re-elect the neighbor you know and the name you trust. Re-elect Jeff Burgosh. Read all of Jeff's endorsements, testimonials, and his strategic plan for District 1 at jeffburgosh.com. Keep leadership that delivers.
Paid for by Jeff Burgosh, Republican for Escambia County Commission.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Somebody dial 911!
Do I go?
favorite songs by The Hives, Try It Again. We just got a brief moment here, so let's get a quick headline from Steve Taylor in the newsroom. Steve, what you got, sir?
Well, two astronauts who flew to the ISS on the Starliner spacecraft could be stuck up there until February now. They lifted off on a Boeing spacecraft back in June. Looks like they have to wait until maybe February to come back on a SpaceX flight. And that's what's happening.
They seem like nice guys. Why you got to say they're stuck up?
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Campaign stops in North Carolina are postponed because of Tropical Storm Debbie. In Eau Claire, Wisconsin, Trump running mate J.D. Vance walked over to Vice President Harris's plane to talk to reporters and ask why she isn't doing interviews.
I figured I'd come by and, one, get a good look at the plane, because hopefully it's going to be my plane in a few months, but I also thought you guys might get lonely.
In Detroit, Michigan, Vice President Harris shut down chance of lock him up about former President Trump.
Hold on. You know what? Here's the thing. The courts are going to handle that. We're going to beat them in November.
Next Trump rally is tomorrow in Bozeman, Montana. Now, that tropical storm, Debbie, has made a second landfall overnight in South Carolina. And there's a flood threat from the Carolinas up to New England when the storm reaches there Saturday. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 right now, 81 degrees, and mostly sunny. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. The Wedgewood Community Center in Escambia County has remained closed since a mass shooting there back on July 28th. Two people were killed and five others injured near a pavilion outside of the center. The Wedgewood Neighborhood Association managed the center, but the county has now taken control of because of those safety concerns. Escambia County Administrator Wes Moreno told Channel 3.
After the shooting, came in, we closed it down, locked it up, took a step back to reassess some of the protocols that we have in place, and also give the investigation time to take place.
Moreno also says the county hopes to invest in security improvements, including security to be present at large events. No date's been set for when that community center will reopen, but the residents there say they hope it's soon. A man was arrested after he rammed a car with his vehicle during a road rage incident. According to the Florida Highway Patrol, 62-year-old Mitchell Hayden Coffey and another 32-year-old man got into a fight on Graves Road Tuesday about 7 p.m. after they were almost involved in a crash where a death threat was made. Coffey then went home before re-entering the road, which is when he saw the other man again. When that man was at the stop, Coffey allegedly intentionally hit the man's vehicle with his vehicle three times. The report says Coffey then went home, grabbed a handgun, put it into his vehicle. Coffey was arrested and charged with aggravated battery, hit and run, driving under the influence, providing false information, and refusing to submit. Well, it's going to be another hot day in the area. Let's check that forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. Another hot day today with a high near 98 degrees. Heat advisory in place. Temperatures overnight dropping near 77. For Friday, 20% chance of a stray sprinkle, high near 97. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 79. Keeping small rain chances into the weekend with a 30% chance of rain. Temperatures dropping into the mid-90s. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEART Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, let's check in with John Pickens for traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly. Just some minor delays if you're headed from downtown Milton into East Milton. Just 5-minute minor delay there, so nothing to let, you know, really worry about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks, John. Right now, 81 degrees in Pensacola, 80 in Gulf Breeze, and 81 in Milton at 6:34. Next news is at 7. Breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Warner Brothers Discovery stock dropped 9% after it reported a $9.1 billion write-down on its TV networks and missed analyst estimates on revenue. Revenue came in at $9.7 billion, which is below the roughly $10 billion analysts were hoping for. The company won big with the subscription service Max. It added 3.6 million subscribers during the quarter, bringing its total number of global streaming customers to more than 103 million. American American news website Axios has announced it is laying off 10% of its workforce, marking the company's first sizable round of cuts since it was founded in 2016. It was not immediately known what positions were being eliminated. Layoffs for most employees are slated to start tomorrow. Futures are slightly lower. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials lost 234, the NASDAQ down 171, and the S&P 500 down 40. That's your money now.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for fall semester is now open. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. New South Window knows how unpredictable coastal weather can be. And that's why our windows and doors are designed to take on severe hurricanes and the most intense heat. They're built and installed by us, meaning better value and a lifetime guarantee for you. Give your family security that lasts a lifetime. And get New South proud.
For a limited time only, when you buy more, you can save more. Visit NewSouthWindow.com to learn more.
Give the star in your life the brightest gift in the world. Name a star after them. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can name a star for birthdays, weddings, or even memorials. Over 45 years, we have named millions of stars for celebrities and individuals from around the world. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
I'm Ashley Hoffberger, Republican candidate for Escambia County Commissioner, District 4. I am the only candidate with endorsements from our county first responders. It's unanimous. The people who lay it on the line every day to protect us, our professional firefighters, our law enforcement, and our EMTs believe I am the best choice for County Commissioner, District 4. I'm Ashley Hoffberger, and I am asking for your vote on August 20th.
Paid for and approved by Ashley Hoffberger, Republican candidate for Escambia County Commissioner, District 4.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind. Not a yes,
good morning, 6:38 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Good to have you with us. Thank you for choosing us. I know you have all kinds of choices in radio, and I'm glad that you choose to listen to us talk to you in the morning. So I appreciate that. Last week, I had a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go get a tour, behind-the-scenes look at the USS McCool, this amphibious landing dock that is going to commission here in Pensacola on September the 7th. I almost said 9th. Anyway, it's going to commission here in Pensacola, and I'm actually, fingers crossed, I might have a chance to ride it in its trip over from Panama City. So, you know, we'll see. It looks like it might happen. We've got some logistics things we're working out. But anyway, we've been talking about the various aspects of the ship, and this is my first time on board a warship. Not true. I did go on the Clusahatchee, which my uncle was on back in the day. I mean, like 40 years ago or something like that. And I've been on other ships, decommissioned ships. But, you know, to be on a brand new, to be the first people to tour the amphibious landing dock, a pretty sweet opportunity to go behind the scenes. So today's tour takes us to the bridge, right, where they navigate and steer the boat and drive it, if you prefer. And the first thing you notice when you walk into the bridge, at least when we did, the odor.
That's a new car smell. Yeah.
If I bought a car that smelled like this, I would return it.
Very, very pungent paint smell because a lot of paint. Brand new ship, right? Brand new. Actually, there's a reason why it smelled, I think, so strongly. We'll get to that in just a minute. But Commander Mark Banky, who is the chief officer of the boat, he explained how they staff on the bridge.
Right. We talked about CON and OD and things like that. So underway, you'll have an officer of the deck. That's normally a senior first or second tour division officer.
OOD.
Someone with around 2 to 4 years in the Navy, normally a lieutenant, junior grade, or lieutenant that'll be up here. They'll be running where we're navigating. They'll be running the day-to-day schedule from up here and kind of controlling the ship. They'll have two people assisting them. They'll have a junior officer of the deck that is similar in experience, and then they'll have a Connie officer, who's normally a first or second tour division officer as well. Connie officer is the one that's actually issuing commands for where we're going to steer. And where we're going.
So OOD and conning officer, and I'm just fascinated to think about, you know, like lieutenant or lieutenant junior grade being the people to basically be driving the boat. I mean, you know, it's, I don't know. I mean, that's pretty amazing. People that have been in the Navy for a couple of years, and there they are. Right? Okay. So it's just fascinating. He goes on to talk about enlisted staffing also on the bridge.
Great question, sir. So for enlisted members, you're going to look at a quartermaster of the watch that's going to ensure that we're navigating in the right area. You'll have a helmsman who will be controlling our steering and our thrust on a normal underway watch. You'll have a bosun mate of the watch who's controlling the 1MC, any announcements we need to make. You also have a couple of lookouts with us. So we'll have one out on the port bridge wing, the starboard bridge wing, and we'll have a lookout that'll be stationed back out, either on the flight deck or in the aft mooring station in the event of inclement weather.
And then on the bridge, what you've got is a chair to the left and a chair to the right, like kind of, and it's a flat glass out the front, like you've seen probably in movies. It's giant. The room is not that big, but it's all black. We'll get to that in a second. And then behind the front windows, you've got all these, you know, tables and stations where they can see things like the radar, or they can also see the other ships that are in the area, and just, you know, all of the information systems, a lot of which was stuff that we were not supposed to take pictures or video of, you know, for sort of obvious technological reasons. I mean, we weren't even really, there was nothing for us to see, but they were particularly cautious about those aspects of what was going on in the bridge.
Yeah, so chairs on either side, you know, that's traditionally right, the captain's chair on the starboard side there, next to the chair. We actually, believe it or not, they had them so high when they put them in, we had them take 8 inches up lower. Because I was sitting so high, I couldn't actually see out the window. And this one's better. Now it's at the right height. I put my feet up on that table and take it out.
There you go.
But yeah, so we're, yeah, well, you know, especially early on, right, any CO, we spend a lot of time up here.
And see, I had all just kind of in my head, you know, a lot of times you have these in the head pictures of things. And in my head, the captain's always up on the bridge. Rationally, I know that can't be true. And in fact, he's got to do all kinds of things all over the ship all the time. And so, but I was curious, like kind of in the beginning, how much of his day does he spend actually on the bridge?
How much of your day do you spend up here normally?
When we first get underway, probably most of it.
Okay. So you do, I mean, you're awake up there and asleep.
Well, I got to know, you know, you got to learn your bridge teams, right? And I got a lot of experience, but we still haven't ever been to sea together. Mm-hmm. So, I just need to be up there to see everything for a while. And that'll, over time, you know, it'll be less. But generally speaking, myself or XO or somebody like ops, you know, I have someone up here that's got a lot of time and experience just to make sure we're doing, staying straight.
Right? Yeah.
Until you get comfortable to make sure, because ultimately responsibility is his, that, you know, the people who are operating the ship are doing what they're supposed to be doing and doing it in a safe and, you know, accurate manner, right? Commander Mark Banky, who is, again, the chief's officer on the boat, talking about the process of it getting from where it is now to ultimately being able to be deployed.
So the way they contract and build ships, right? So this ship was contracted to be built 9 to 10 years ago. Right, and it was planned, built, people in program offices, way smarter than me on architecture, right? They put this thing together. But as you know, technology rapidly changes. So following this and a few operations we have, we'll go into what's called a follow-on availability for about 7.5 months back in Norfolk. We'll get things that are already on board upgraded that need to be upgraded to be current. We'll get some things that cannot be installed here in Mississippi that have to be done up in Norfolk. We'll get those installed. And then we'll go through some of our basic certifications and we'll get ready for deployment.
It's not like just delivering an end state result. You build the ship according to a contract that was settled on 8 or 9 years ago. They're building the ship. That ship's going to have systems on it that are already obsolete by the time it gets made. So it goes to Panama City. It gets some of its final things put in there. Comes back here to Pensacola to commission. Then it goes up to Norfolk to basically be retrofitted, upgraded, and made modern, the things that are already behind the technology because they were designed and implemented over the last decade. You know, like, it's just an interesting process because of how long it takes, what you have to do to get the thing finally ready to fully deploy, even though, as the captain was repeatedly telling us, you know, if mission calls, they go now, right? You know, you better to take what you've got in its current state than the ideal that you would have if you waited till later, because later may not even happen, right? 6:45 on News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has got our traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. But if you're headed both north and southbound on Highway 29, right around Fairfield, all the way down to Maxwell Street, you're going to see some delays there in both directions, so just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're 64, turn 65, or you're retiring, you're going to convert over onto Medicare, and you might be, I don't know, apprehensive about that, concerned about that. It might feel like it's a confusing, stressful thing. It's new. It's different. People might be calling you. They might be writing you letters. You know, there's all kinds of things that could be going on. And you might, it's really not like that. It's very easy. But if you don't know, you don't know. Well, I have a good friend who knows, okay? Ricky Stewart, her whole family does insurance. She does this one little part. She just helps get people converted over onto Medicare. It's very easy. She'll answer your questions. What's supplement? What's prescription drug benefit going to do? What's Advantage? What's Medicaid? How is that different? You know, even that, like, if you know Medicare and Medicaid, you think, how could people get those confused? Trust me, people get those confused. And that's normal, okay? So if you have questions, she has answers. 341-2185 for Ricky Stewart Insurance. Back to the USS McCool. And again, you know, part of the reason that I'm spending so much time on this is because I think it's fascinating. Part of it is because it's a behind-the-scenes look at naval operations, or at least the machinery and the people that you might not normally get. Also, of course, it's commissioning here. But think broader than that. I'm in this, you know, Meet Your Tenant Commands series where we're talking about what happens at the military bases here in Northwest Florida, which most people do not know, and that's why we're doing the series, okay? But all of the aviation stuff, like this boat has got, you know, several helicopter pilots and then all the support staff that go with them and can work on their 60s or, you know, the Ospreys or whatever they happen to have. Okay, those folks all got all of their training here. All of it. They learned how to fly at Whiting. They learned how to, you know, turn a wrench at the MATSIG 23 on board NAS Pensacola. They, you know, like at NATSE. But also, NETSE, which is the overarching training command, the two-star admiral here, Cherico, all of the training that goes on all over the United States and even the world that teaches people how to do all kinds of things related to operations, they oversee that. So when you're talking about a second or third year, you know, junior lieutenant, junior grade lieutenant, or lieutenant, NETSE oversaw their training. So, like, every part of this operation ties into us here. That's why it's so important to understand what we do, because you start to see, beginning to end, the significance of what happens here in Northwest Florida and why the military mission isn't just so important for us, for our economy, but so important for the Navy and their mission. Back to Jeff Baker. He's the captain talking about the new systems and upgrading and getting those sort of up to where they're supposed to be.
There's a lot of new systems on this ship.
It's the most advanced warship, amphibious warship ever built. So all these systems need to be tested and proven and developed, right, before the ship's ready to deploy. So from the engineering plant to the combat systems, there's just a lot of new. We got the latest and greatest of everything.
Right.
And again, this will be the most advanced amphibious warship in the fleet. But it takes a lot of testing by a lot of smart people all over from the program office. And so that's a lot of it is underway in testing systems, and there'll be some. We could do missions if they need us to. And I told the crew yesterday, if they needed us to go, we'd go. But the plan is to fully test these systems, get the ship ready to go, probably deploy later part of 26.
So finally, all the way up to where it needs to be will be later part of 2026. So still 2.5 years away from that. I mentioned before that it's all black when you go into the, you know, the bridge, and that kind of caught me off guard because I wasn't expecting it, in addition to the paint smell. But he explains.
So everything up here is about light discipline and height.
Sorry, this is actually Commander Mark Behnke, not the captain.
So you'll see a lot of different things, and some of these screens might be bright when they're turned on. Everything has the capability to go red. When you're out at sea at night, if you're not a boater and you've never gotten away from the shoreline or anything like that, very dark at night, okay? I would love to say that every ship and every boat that goes out on the water carries navigation lights that are as bright as they should be and they're where they should be, but that's simply not the truth, right? So minimal light here allows our eyes to stay tuned for our night vision and lets us see out and beyond and make sure we stay safe when we're navigating around.
It's a simple, practical value of having a very low level of ambient light so that your eyes can see everything that's out on the water. Especially, you know, at night. Makes perfect sense. And somebody texted in and says, it's kind of like when you buy a phone. First thing you got to do when you turn on your phone is install the updates, right? Yeah, except in this case, the updates take years. Because, you know, it's big stuff that has to be updated.
How long can you operate before you have to refuel?
We are a diesel plant, right? So we do love our fuel. So we're at 21 days plus on this platform.
Okay.
Honestly, we're a little bit more limited on food than we are fuel.
Okay.
Especially when we get the Marines embarked, because they love eating and they love working out. That's about our endurance.
And water's all processed on board, recycled?
Our water is processed on board. Yes, we use reverse osmosis units on board.
It's one of those things that if you've never thought about it, you've never thought about it, but the sheer logistics of getting fuel to ships at sea, underway. I mean, that's a big operation. Like, you know, refueling planes is a big operation, but planes can land at a base and get refueled. Ships, longer at sea, you know, it's a big thing, and they're not nuclear, so they do have to be continually refueled. And just the logistics of that is something that anybody who's been in the Navy knows, anybody who hasn't been in the Navy, kind of like, oh, yeah, I guess I hadn't been thinking about that. Witness the breakdown of logistics just in getting fuel to the tanks when Russia tried to invade Ukraine and how much they botched it and how that completely, I mean, they probably would have occupied Ukraine if they hadn't been unable to do logistics for their refueling and resupply, right? So just that's why I asked the questions. I was kind of curious with not having nuclear, of course, as you know, only the carriers and the subs have nuclear. He mentioned the Marines loving to eat and work out, which is true. So
yeah, we have several gyms on board. We'll have anything from treadmills, bikes, ellipticals, rowing machines, full sets of Smith machines, free weights, things like that. Plenty of gym space for blue and green team.
I mean, remember, it's a city. You know, they have dentists, they have doctor, you know, they have all kinds of medical capability. You need to eat and drive and have exercise and recreation and, you know, of course, have the mission and have weapons and all of that. And then last piece for today was, I was just kind of curious what life is like on board the ship and what they do with their free time.
So when the sailors are not sleeping, eating, or working, what are they doing?
A lot of people love gaming.
Okay.
But I will also tell you that we have...
They game in their bunks, or do you have a room?
Yeah, and
or?
They have some rec rooms down in their berthing that they have chairs in. But I will tell you, we have some of the smartest young sailors that I've ever met. We have a sailor on board who was a lawyer in a different country, and she decided to enlist in the Navy to help support her ship. I have a sailor that's going through for her master's right now. A lot of our sailors will pursue advanced degrees in their off time.
How much, like in a day, how much off time would they have on average? A couple hours, maybe?
It depends on if you're looking at underway or in port.
Uh-huh.
So in port, we're normally starting work around 7. We'll normally get done around 4.
Okay.
And then if you're on duty, obviously you're staying on board the entire night and you're working the entire night. Underway, you look at what's called circadian rhythm, is what the Navy has gone to, where you kind of keep a certain sleep schedule. Folks will be standing anywhere from 6 to 8 hours of watch a day. They'll be working a little bit in their off time. and when they're not on watch.
All right, folks, we start moving this way, anywhere from two to three hours.
So there you go. That's and like I said, tomorrow we'll finish up this series. I'll take you into the super top secret combat information system, combat information center, the CIC, where we were not allowed to take our phones, and we'll talk about weapons because that's also kind of the fun part about this ship. 6:55 here on News Radio 92.3. John's got traffic on the fives.
No accidents to slow you down this morning, but if you're at the intersection of Cervantes and 9th Avenue, in both directions, you're going to see some delays. We've just got heavy amounts of traffic right there. Other than that, traffic is good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
My name is Rich Holsnick, and I'm a candidate for Escambia County School Board District 4. I'm running for our children to protect their innocence and to get back to educational basics without indoctrination. We also need to retain good teachers. I'm a Naval Academy grad, a 28-year combat vet, and Desert Storm Task Group commander and pilot. Children are our hope and future. I will defend them as I did our nation. Vote Rich in the August 20 primary.
Paid by Rich Holsnack, candidate for Escambia County School Board, District 4.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hello, I'm Rhett Rowell, a lifelong Santa Rosa County resident, and I'm a candidate for Santa Rosa County Commission, District 3. I'm running because Santa Rosa has real problems affecting you every day, including traffic congestion and improper drainage. We can do better. Santa Rosa County needs a unifier, and I am that voice. I would be humbled to receive your vote. From sand to soil across our great county, I will be your common sense conservative commissioner that you will be proud of. Please visit RhettRowell.com to learn more.
Paid for and approved by Rhett Rowell, Santa Rosa County Commission.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights 7 to 10 before WEAR-TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Flight 209er clear for vector 324.
We have clearance, Clarence.
Roger, roger. What's our vector, Victor?
Good morning, 6:57 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andy. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you're thinking about getting that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great selection. About 300 different cars, trucks, vans, SUVs, sports cars, sedans on the lot. And you can go drive as many as you like. You know, drive 20. Drive 5. And most people drive like one or two. Drive several. Test the knobs. Play with the stereo. Adjust the seat. And drive a few. And then really get a sense of what's out there. And especially, you know, you can see what the price is. You know, up or down based on what kind of features you want to get. And if they don't have the exact thing you want, they can go find it for you. They go find cars all the time for people. But the point is get informed. And one of the advantages of Frontier is they just have a wide variety there all in one place. You don't have to go driving around town and then try to remember, what was the third car we looked at? Well, it's right here, you know, if they're all in one place. It's kind of the buffet of cars, the smorgasbord of cars. And, you know, like a good buffet, you try a bunch of stuff and then you go back for the good stuff, right? That's how it works. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell him Andrew McKay says hi. Into our newsroom now, where Steve is waiting anxiously to tell us about the headlines. Steve?
Well, looks like the U.S. has added 8 more medals yesterday at the Paris Olympics and is now closing in on the century mark. Team USA claimed 94 total medals, which includes the game's best 27 gold medals, with just 4 days remaining. China remains second in these standings with 65 total medals and 25 gold. France is third with 51 total medals. And the U.S. basketball team is going to get closer to a gold medal by playing today. They're getting close. So that's what's happening in the world of sports.
I always feel like it's weird that in the Olympics, like in swimming, there's 473 medals. And in volleyball, there's one. You know, one gold anyway. And so you know, all of these time they spend playing volleyball or basketball for one gold medal, whereas swimmers, there's a lot of them.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most.